VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And we do thank you for joining us here on Crosstalk for a news roundup day here today. But first, friends, we are going to spend the first several minutes talking about what's going on in Israel at this point. For instance, today is a very significant day. On our calendar, it was on this day in 1948 that Israel became a nation. But as you know, there are provocations from Hamas against Israel. They broke out Monday of this week on Jerusalem Day, a holiday in Israel as she commemorates the reunification of Jerusalem and rightly gaining control over her own land during the Six-Day War in 1967. Well, the fighting against Israel has continued all this week, including today. Frankly, I'm tired of the many in the media that are seeking to put the blame on Israel when it was Hamas that was the one firing hundreds of missiles at Israel to provoke what's going on this week. With us here by way of phone, we have Dr. Daniel Ashheim, who is the Counsel for Public Diplomacy for Israel's Consulate for the Midwest. Dr. Ashheim, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you very much, Jim, for having me. Thank you for this opportunity.
If you would give us your perspective on what's been unfolding this week. I know that the media has been seeking to put the blame on Israel, but I know it's Hamas that provoked this attack.
Well, thank you very much for pointing the truth out. I mean, sometimes we're living, it seems like we're living in the post-truth world when we need to show everything that is equal, the same side. But there is a clear aggressor here, which is Hamas, a vicious terrorist organization. I just want to come back. You talked about the holiday of Jerusalem. I had the opportunity to visit with my family, to see my parents, who I didn't see for a long time, in Jerusalem. And our balcony overlooks the old city, the holiest place for Christians, for Jews, for Muslims. And it's supposed to be a place of peace. And Hamas did everything possible to make this holiness month of Ramadan, together with the holiday of Jerusalem Day, in making it a vicious uprising that started with uprising in Jerusalem and then led to rockets shooting rockets at Jerusalem, Tel Aviv, and other major metropolis in Israel. Thousands of rockets shot since Monday. We have hundreds of thousands of Israelis, children, parents, grandparents, who need to run to shelter, don't sleep at night. There are casualties, people murdered, including children. We have people who are traumatized. We have other people who lost their homes, and this is in a sovereign country. And we're experiencing this by a terrorist group who is doing everything possible to target civilians all over the state of Israel. And it's a tragedy, and Israel is doing everything possible to defend itself by itself, and will continue to do so until we get quiet back to the region.
Dr. Ashheim, will we be seeing a ground invasion from Israel? It appears such preparations are going on.
Look, Israel is prepared to do any means possible, to use any means possible to protect its civilians. Nevertheless, we don't want, war is not something that we want. This was brought upon us, this was brought to us by Hamas. And these are tactical and strategic decisions made by the government and by the army. Currently, they are not inside, and we'll see where Hamas goes here. So this all depends on Hamas. If Hamas stops shooting rockets, we will not need to continue and further expand the operation. And also, when we are talking about the future, Hamas needs to understand deterrence here is the key issue. Hamas needs to think twice, three times, and 200 times before they shoot a missile at Israeli civilians around the country. So therefore, I hope we'll not need to have more of that, because Hamas will understand the message after their last night that a lot of its infrastructure have been destructed. And it's time for them to understand that they will never, never beat us.
The resolve of Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu seems very, very strong, promising that they would extract a very heavy price from Hamas and going it with heavy force. He's not just saying words. He really means this, doesn't he?
Yes, so we mean it, and you can see it by actions on the ground. Our military, our air force, destructed Hamas headquarters, Hamas militants, the hiding places in the middle of civilian places. So they put their headquarters in hospitals, in schools, in order for us, because they know how much we care about civilians. We do everything possible not to harm innocent civilians, whether Christian, whether Arabs, whether Muslims, whether Israelis. We do everything possible to avoid civilian casualties. And even when we see, when Israel retaliates and destructs a building of Hamas, Israel phones them before shooting in order to make sure that civilians will not be involved.
Wow.
And this is in contrary to what we see in Hamas is doing. Hamas is doing everything possible to harm and kill civilians on the Israeli side.
One further note here, and that is we know Israel right now is in kind of a political turmoil, not having a decision made on this last election, multiple elections taking place, waiting for a majority for the prime minister. What bearing is this having, this political matter, on Israel at this time as she is at war?
You know, Jim, it's an important point, because this is a disturbing matter for Israelis. This is something that we need to resolve. This is political issues in Israel. We need to form a stable government. We don't want another elections to come. Nevertheless, I don't think it's connected directly to what we are seeing now. Our government is united here. We are strong together. There are no disagreements in the government now between the different parties in the interim government. There are no disagreements regarding the policy towards the Gaza Strip currently in Hamas. And as long as we are united, we are going to overcome this. And then we're going to go back to the regular political discussions and disagreements.
Well, Dr. Asheim, thank you so much for joining us today as we encourage our listeners to continue to be praying for the peace of Jerusalem.
Amen. And we all say praise. We pray together. And this holy day, we are coming to the Jewish holiday of Shavuot. And I wish peace on all of you, and have a good and calm weekend.
Great. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you, Jim. Take care.
Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
That was Dr. Daniel Asheim, the Counsel for Public Diplomacy for Israel's Consulate for the Midwest, as their office contacted us here today for a statement. Because, folks, again, as I said, I'm tired of the media just constantly giving the impression that it is Israel that's provoked this attack and talking about how Hamas is responding back to Israel. But, folks, it is Hamas that launched this attack against Israel on Israel Day of all days, which Israel celebrating the reunification of Jerusalem coming once again after she reclaimed Jerusalem during the Six-Day War. And yet the media is making this as to be a very anti-Israel event. Ted Cruz has actually even come out saying that Ilhan Omar is acting as a press secretary for Hamas with the statements that she is making. The Palestinian terror organization, after she tweeted false information about the clashes, she is staunchly anti-Israel and has a history of anti-Semitic rhetoric, he tweeted out regarding that. But she said, Israeli airstrikes killing civilians in Gaza is an act of terrorism. Palestinians deserve protection. Unlike Israel, missile defense programs such as Iron Dome don't exist to protect Palestinian civilians. It's unconscionable to not condemn these attacks on the week of Eid. Well, folks, the attacks came out on Jerusalem Day against Israel. Lord willing, next week we'll be going further into this story, and we pray that that you'll continue to stay tuned and stay alert to the issues that are going on here. The Jihad Watch is reporting that the U.S. Navy announced Sunday that it seized an arms shipment of thousands of assault weapons, machine guns, and sniper rifles hidden aboard a ship in the Arabian Sea, apparently bound for Yemen to support the country's Houthi rebels. The Navy's initial investigation found the vessel came from Iran. That's another nation to keep your eyes on. It's very disturbing. Here we have the Miami Dolphins. Now, we were just talking about sports and wokeism and how sports are being utilized by the United Nations. It's right in their documents to use sports to further the agenda, the Sustainable Development Goals, Agenda 2030, Agenda 21. Now we have the Miami Dolphins. This is from frontpagemag.com, partnering with the local mosque to distribute food in honor of Ramadan. This was a headline for South Florida's Local 10 News on the morning of April 28th. Another post on the page advertises a drive-through iftar dinner over the logos for the Miami Dolphins and ICGM's corporate name, Muslim Communities Association of South Florida, or MCA. The ICGM is a member of the South Florida Muslim Federation, an umbrella group for South Florida's many radical Muslim organizations. Their Imam Abdul Hamid Samara sits on the Federation Council of Imams, which uses ICGM to hold council meetings. Also sitting on the council is Iskar Khan, along with a fellow Imam Roshan Ali. In May, Iskar Khan was arrested, charged with material support for terrorists, as stated in the indictment against him. Very troubling indeed now to have the Miami Dolphins that are partnering with the local mosque for these drive-through Ramadan meals. Let's go to Jihad Watch. The city of Hagen, this is Germany, has taken down an Israeli flag at the town hall. Like numerous other cities and municipalities in Germany, the city hoisted the Israeli flag at the town hall Wednesday, as in previous years, as referred to the anniversary of the establishment of diplomatic relations between Israel and the Federal Republic of Germany, May 12, 1965. But according to city administration, the raising of the Israeli flag caused anger and was perceived by some people as a one-sided expression of solidarity with regard to the current conflict. Several complaints came in, so they took down the Israeli flag. Let's bring China into the picture here. The New American reporting, China finally is wide awake, and she is moving around the world now that she's also trying to move into the Atlantic, warns a top American general. U.S. General Stephen Townsend said Beijing is looking to establish a large Navy port capable of hosting submarines or aircraft carriers on the continent's western coast. Experts told the Sun Online that Africa could be the theater of a potential land war between the U.S. and China, as fears of conflict to continue to simmer between two of the world's largest military powers. WND.com also reporting that China is creeping further east across the Pacific with a new project that could put military assets thousands of miles closer to Hawaii. A new report says China is looking to establish an airfield about 1,900 miles from Hawaii, less than half the distance between the Chinese mainland and America's Pacific island state. According to Reuters, China has a partnership deal with a tiny island nation of Kiribati. The goal of this deal is to develop an airstrip on one remote speck of land, according to China's foreign ministry. So a land aspect there with through the air as well as through the seas. Let's get to the pipeline. After a debilitating and embarrassing cyber attack that crippled the supply chain for days, The Blaze reports the Colonial Pipeline buckled to the demands of hackers and paid nearly $5 million in ransom, Bloomberg reported yesterday afternoon. Nicole Perroth, cybersecurity reporter for the New York Times, reported they paid hackers some 75 bitcoins on Monday. The company paid the hefty ransom in difficult-to-trace cryptocurrency within hours after the attack, underscoring the immense pressure faced by the Georgia-based operator to get gasoline and jet fuel flowing again to major cities across the eastern seaboard. Those people said, according to Bloomberg, once the ransom was paid, the hackers provided Colonial Pipeline with a decrypting tool to restore its disabled computer network, but the tool was so slow that the company continued using its own backups to help restore the system, one of the people familiar with the companies told Bloomberg. We're going to comment a little bit further on this pipeline issue here after the break. You're listening to Crosstalk on the VCY America Network.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, geologist and president of the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, has life been found on meteorites?
No, it hasn't, Chris, even though this fairy tale is continually repeated by my evolutionary colleagues. Microscopic studies of certain meteorites has led them to claim that they have seen hints of past microbial life. But other scientists have studied the same samples and are absolutely convinced that these are really just inorganic crystals or compounds. It's hard to overcome some of these stories once they hit the mainstream press and are repeated over and over again. But the fact is, life has not been found anywhere but on planet Earth, and it's here in abundance, just like we would expect from the Back to Genesis truth of creation.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Visit our web store at icr.org/store and use the promo code FACT at the checkout when ordering your That's a Fact DVD.
It's a News Roundup Day here today on Crosstalk. Our first several minutes taken up with Dr. Daniel Ashheim from the Israeli consulate here serving the Midwest. Very concerned about matters going on, but even concerned by what the media is reporting on this very issue. Back to the pipeline issue. Very interesting. The Secretary of Energy, Jennifer Granholm, appeared at a press briefing at the White House Tuesday of this week, taking questions about the gas crisis caused by the cyber attack. And so a questioner asked her this. Quote, obviously, we have the acute issues with the Colonial Pipeline ransomware attack, but looking more holistically in a macro view, how does this speed up the efforts at DOE to move in more of a renewable direction since it's going to have an impact on people at the pump? Yeah, I mean, we obviously are all in on making sure that we meet the president's goals of getting to 100% clean energy, she said, by 2035 and net zero carbon emissions by 2050. And then Graham Holt said this, and you know, if you drive an electric car, this would not be affecting you clearly. Isn't that interesting? Hey, if you would drive an electric car, you wouldn't have these gasoline shortages. I wonder if she remembers the outage that happened in Texas earlier this year. People were thankful then to have gasoline automobiles. CBN News reporting House Republicans ousted Representative Liz Cheney from her post at the chamber's number three GOP leader Wednesday after she repeatedly rebuked former President Trump for claims of election fraud. The meeting was behind closed doors for less than 20 minutes. A voice vote was used to remove her. By the way, the National Pulse is reporting Philip Perry, the husband of Liz Cheney, serves as a partner at Latham and Watkins. It's a firm which has offices in Shanghai and Beijing, has worked with companies that are labeled as being tools of the Chinese Communist Party by the U.S. State Department and People's Liberation Army collaborators. Isn't that an interesting bit of trivia? Let's see. And now replacing her, House Republicans voted a secret ballot today to appoint Representative Elise Stefanik as the chair of the GOP conference, replacing Liz Cheney. Let's go to thenewamerican.com. As GOP discontent with the top Biden health official intensifies, a group of House Republicans introduced a House bill Wednesday to oust White House health advisor and epidemiologist Dr. Anthony Fauci, noting that few people have earned their termination more visibly. Representative Warren Davidson of Ohio is the sponsor of the bill. It's titled Fauci's Incompetence Requires Early Dismissal Act, or the FIRED Act. In the wake of massive missteps by Dr. Fauci and his subordinates in the handling of the COVID pandemic, the bill addresses an oft-overlooked issue, the lack of accountability for unelected officials, reads a press statement from Davidson's office. Under Dr. Fauci's office, it says, Americans have lost confidence in the National Institutes of Health and the Centers for Disease Control, leading to confusion and serious government overreach that has threatened the American livelihoods and freedoms. Despite successful treatment therapies, a historic vaccination development, and decreasing cases, Dr. Fauci has continued to advise healthy, low-risk Americans to continue to act as if the pandemic were out of control after overseeing nearly a year of draconian public health policies that have decimated the U.S. economy. From FoxNews.com, Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell and Majority Leader Chuck Schumer clashed Tuesday of this week at a Senate Rules Committee markup of Senate Bill 1. It's a Democrat-backed elections bill that would dramatically change the role of the federal government in elections. The two-party leaders are members of the Rules Committee, but rarely appear to speak at hearings, but they were both at this contentious hearing for the bill in March. They traded accusations of shame. Similar fireworks happened after the markup began Tuesday, with Schumer tying GOP opposition to former President Trump's election claims and election security bills in state legislatures. McConnell, meanwhile, hammered Democrats over the fact that they've changed the reasoning for their support of this bill over the years. It would make normal the abnormal events that took place during the 2020 election. WND.com on this issue talks about a letter from the president of the Arizona State Senate that is conducting an audit of the 2020 presidential election results in Maricopa County. It has a bombshell here. County officials apparently erased an election database from a computer just before turning it over under subpoena for the audit, saying we have recently discovered from that the entire database directory from the D drive of the machine EMS primary has been deleted. The letter from Senate President Karen Fan to the Maricopa Board of Supervisors and its chairman Jack Sellers notes, this removes election-related details that appear to have been covered by the subpoena. In addition, the main database for the election management system software, results tally and reporting, is not located anywhere on the EMS primary machine, even though all of the EMS clients reference that machine as their location of the database. This suggests that the main database for all election-related data for the November 2020 general election has been removed. Can you please advise as to why these folders were deleted and whether there are any backups that may contain the deleted photos? The Gateway Pundit said it's pretty clear that Democrats in their deep state will do anything to stop the ongoing 2020 election forensic audit in Maricopa County. They've tried using the Maricopa County Board of Supervisors, the Democratic Secretary of State, Katie Hobbs, their attorneys, their nonprofits. Now they're bringing out their biggest guns, the Gateway Pundit explained. Interesting indeed. Missing from the database, erased from the database. If there was no election fraud, why should these things be happening? Who's covering up what? The Washington Examiner points out that more than 1,000 phantom ballots were discovered in Antrim County, Michigan, according to a local attorney in the 2020 election lawsuit, alleging fraud in the contest 6 months after it took place. Matthew DiPerno, representing Antrim County resident William Bailey, said in a recount in December tallied 15,962 ballots, but only 14,901 were shown in the Michigan Secretary of State's database, meaning 1,061 don't exist on voter rolls. The alleged discovery of phantom ballots, DiPerno wrote in a recent filing, supports the need for an audit of the county results. Other irregularities that warrant a closer look, according to DiPerno, our data showing a near 100% turnout among voters aged 65 to 80 and 1 in 5 ballots being sent to post office boxes. Mike Lindell, by the way, drew a huge crowd to its first free speech Frank event. Over 250,000 indeed watched online, eclipses the Biden audiences. Over 250,000 watched this, frankspeech.com, also broadcast by the Right Side Broadcasting and OANN. Very interesting indeed as that unfolded at the Corn Palace Monday night of this week. WND.com, a letter has been signed by some 120 retired military leaders warning that the nation may not survive the attack on the Constitution being orchestrated by Joe Biden, the president. The letter says, quote, our nation is in deep peril. We are in a fight for our survival as a constitutional republic like no other time since our founding in 1776. Folks, this is 120 American generals saying we may not survive this. They say the conflict is between supporters of socialism and Marxism versus supporters of constitutional freedom and liberty. They go on to say in their letter, the current administration has launched a full-blown assault on our constitutional rights in a dictatorial manner, bypassing the Congress with more than 50 executive orders quickly signed, many reversing the previous administration's effective policies and regulations. Moreover, population control actions such as excessive lockdowns, school and business closures, most alarming censorship of written and verbal expressions are all direct assaults on our fundamental rights. They pointed to the 2020 elections, however, as the most significant red flag. Without fair and honest elections that accurately reflect the will of the people, our constitutional republic is lost. They say that the FBI and Supreme Court must act swiftly when election irregularities are surfaced and not ignore them, as was done in 2020. A letter of warning from 120 former retired military leaders. WND.com also reporting President Trump's pro-America, pro-business, and pro-religious rights agenda when he was in the Oval Office offered many Democrats and other has rather offended many Democrats and other leftists. They tried while he was in office to find a way to destroy him, including bringing charges against him. They instigated investigate his taxes, his campaign as well, cap their war against him with not one but two impeach and remove campaigns, but they all failed. Now that he's out of office, it seems their affliction known as the Trump derangement syndrome moniker during his term is getting worse. Big League Politics is reporting that government officials who are close to President Biden and his family are plotting ways to charge Donald Trump with crimes before he can run for the presidency again in 2024. The report explained Big League Politics reported on how Democrats have been fanaticizing for years about arresting their political opposition using any justification. There's a complication, though, with any plan to arrest the former president at his West Palm Beach residence or other properties. Florida state law allows the governor, Ron DeSantis, the authority to review any extradition demand and possibly not comply. Democrats trying to find a way around that. WND.com also reporting a federal judge has dismissed a lawsuit against the gun maker Glock brought by the Brady campaign to prevent gun violence on behalf of a man who was shot and paralyzed by a gunshot. U.S. District Judge Susan Brunovich ruled that the state constitutional and affirmed the immunity from liability granted in 2005 Protection of Lawful Commerce in Arms Act. Last month, President Biden falsely claimed that the firearms industry is the only industry in America that can't be sued. Oh, yeah? Try suing the pharmaceuticals over the vaccine, over the shot. He said this is the only outfit that's exempt from being sued if I get one thing on my list. And then he said if the Lord came down and said, Joe, you get one of these, give me that one, Biden said at the White House. He claimed that the gun maker soon would have a come-to-the-Lord moment. Glock argued it was covered by the Immunity Act because the shooting was a criminal act, and the judge agreed. Now, isn't that something of the president referring to God and the Lord in this case, but refused to acknowledge him in the National Day of Prayer proclamation? Western Journal reporting that just before National Police Week, the president seemingly just couldn't miss yet another chance to wrongly slam peace officers. In a statement days before the start of National Police Week, which we're in right now, President Biden expressed gratitude to the country's fallen police officers, stated that his administration would work to support local law enforcement through the aftermath of COVID-19, following in the footsteps of those who came before him, and then began to pontificate on the distrust toward law enforcement. Can you imagine that? Right as we're entering fallen officers and honoring fallen officers, and just before National Police Week, he begins to unfold on them. Biden said, quote, "We also recognize that in many of our communities, especially black and brown communities, there's a deep sense of distrust toward law enforcement, a distrust that has been exasperated by the recent deaths of several black and brown people at the hands of law enforcement." Biden essentially vilified law enforcement as an institution, blaming that institution rather than the actions of a handful of individuals for the resulting breakdown in trust between minority communities and law enforcement. From LifeSiteNews.com, the Biden administration took action on Monday to force hospitals and medical professionals to perform sex change surgeries and other transgender procedures, regardless of religious objection. The Department of Health and Human Services announced Monday it will interpret and enforce federal health care and anti-discrimination law to apply to sexual orientation and gender identity. The move is an official reinstatement of a previous Obama administration policy and reverses a Trump-era rule protecting conscience rights of medical providers. HHS Secretary Becerra teased lawsuits against health care providers who resist the new mandate, stating that HHS plans to act on related reports of discrimination. Folks, there's more to come on our news roundup here today. What an important time to be in prayer for our nation. Back in a minute here on Crosstalk.
Cemeteries and mausoleums are evidence of the sad reality of death, and that each of us has a divine appointment with death. According to surveys, Americans overwhelmingly believe that heaven exists and believe that most are going there. A small number believes that hell exists, with only 0.5% believing they will go there when they die. What if those who do not believe in hell die one day and find they made a tragic and eternal mistake? In the book, Hell is for Real, author Gary Fraser discusses the separation, the suffering, and the sorrow of hell, along with future events that will unfold. There is much information given by movies, television, psychics, and even by many religious circles. Gary presents scriptural truth on this important topic. VCY is making available the book, Hell is for Real, as our way of saying thank you for your support of $15 or more. Two copies for a donation of $25. Just ask for it when you call 1-800-729-9829.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. It's a news roundup day here today. And friends, I've just got some more stories you need to know about what is taking place here across this nation and around the world. Lord willing, we'll have some time a little bit later in the broadcast for your comments on some of these issues. I'll be formulating your comments to keep them as brief as possible and to the point as possible, but so much is unfolding so very quickly. This coming from WND.com, a Christian chaplain with the help of the Christian Legal Center in the UK is fighting back after he was accused of being a terrorist and dismissed from his job. What was he doing? You know what? He preached a sermon. Preached a sermon on the campus of Trent College on religious rights. He preached that religious beliefs are protected in law and students were not required to adopt the LGBTQ ideology. He added, quote, "My story sends a message to other Christians that you are not free to talk about your faith. It seems that it's no longer enough to just tolerate LGBT ideology. You must accept it without question and no debate allowed without serious consequences. Someone else will decide what is and what is not acceptable, and suddenly you can't become an outcast possibly. You can become an outcast possibly for the rest of your life." Fired and reported as a terrorist for his sermon on religious rights. From Todd Starnes, New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio was under fire for allowing pot smokers to march on cannabis parade last week. And he also has allowed Black Lives Matter marches, but dishonoring military veterans by denying the annual Memorial Day parade on Staten Island. Now think about this. We can have a parade for pot smokers, we can allow the marches for Black Lives Matters, but no way shall we let military veterans have their annual Memorial Day parade on Staten Island. Citing emergency executive orders, the city denied the permit for the event where Gulf War veterans were set to get special recognition for the 30th anniversary of the conflict. In a letter sent to the NYPD, attorney Brendan Lattery demanded a parade permit by Monday, pointing to the cannabis parade. Under the Equal Protection Clause, it's unconstitutional for the city to pick and choose between groups like this. There is a clear double standard going on here. And by the way, de Blasio has reportedly participated in the St. Patrick's Day Parade and the Black Lives Matter protest since the beginning of the pandemic. And Chuck Schumer and the Attorney General James both participated in the cannabis parade earlier this month, but no to the veterans. NBC News reporting that the man accused of opening fire in New York City's Times Square, injuring three bystanders, including a little four-year-old girl, captured in Florida Wednesday, law enforcement said. Farrakhan Mohammed, sporting a new haircut in a bid to alter his appearance, was captured in a McDonald's parking lot near Jacksonville, ending the day's long search, police said. Speaking of McDonald's, according to USA Today, McDonald's is teaming up with the Biden administration to raise COVID-19 vaccine awareness and helping customers find vaccine appointments near them. The fast food giant announced Tuesday that it will promote the White House and Department of Health and Human Services' We Can Do This campaign on its Times Square billboard later this month and on the McCafe coffee cups and delivery orders at all U.S. restaurants starting in July. The revamped McCafe hot cups and new delivery seal stickers will direct customers to vaccines.gov to learn more about how they can find vaccine appointments near them and protect themselves against COVID. LifeSiteNews.com, Southwest Airlines removed a masked toddler with disabilities from a flight, citing a Biden mandate. This is a mask-compliant three-year-old and his family forcibly deplaned in Denver last week due to the toddler's sensory processing disorder because the captain didn't feel comfortable with the child on the flight because there was the potential that 3-year-old might take his mask off during the flight and the pilot was not comfortable in flying that plane. The Epic Times reporting the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, May 13th, eased mask-wearing guidance and said people vaccinated against COVID-19 can stop wearing masks inside most places. CDC Director Dr. Rochelle Walensky said there are instances where individuals may need to wear masks, like in a healthcare setting or a business that requires masks. People will also have to abide by federal, state, local, tribal, or territorial guidance, she said. Anyone who is fully vaccinated can participate in indoor and outdoor activities, large or small, without wearing a mask or physical distancing, she told reporters during a news conference. The president is saying either get the shot or mask up. You decide. Pamela Gettler said that the CDC says it will stop reporting weekly COVID breakthrough infections unless they result in hospitalizations or death. Imagine if the CDC used this indicator from the start. There would have been no lockdowns or forced business personnel bankruptcies, but they don't want the number of people who are getting COVID who have had the so-called full vaccination to be reported. No, only those that are hospitalized, but they continue to report those who have COVID who are not hospitalized in other settings. From Newsmax.com, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis yesterday said he would pardon anyone charged with breaking COVID-19 protocols like mask wearing and social distancing. He made the remarks after two gym owners faced criminal penalties for refusing to enforce such protocols. He also is going after the Biden administration directly this week, reports a conservative brief. He filed a lawsuit against the CDC in federal court that aims to hold them accountable for inflicting economic damage to Florida businesses with draconian lockdown measures. Let's go to LifeSiteNews.com. Interesting story out of Ohio as to what ends. I mean, what, Dunkin' Donuts giving free donuts? Some places giving free fries? Some are giving this or some are giving that? Well, Ohio's Republican governor, Mike DeWine, unveiled Wednesday an unusual incentive to encourage more residents to take one of the experimental COVID-19 vaccines, entering recipients into weekly drawings for $1 million. Folks, it's so bizarre, but it's true. As of May 13th, almost 4.3 million residents of Ohio have been fully vaccinated, which is approximately 36% of the state's population. Policymakers across the country have expressed frustration at a lack of interest in getting vaccinated by many Americans beyond the initial rush. Well, DeWine's solution is to enter adults who have had at least obtained the first injection of a COVID vaccine into a lottery for one of five drawings of $1 million apiece, announced every Wednesday for 5 weeks starting May 26. The Ohio Department of Health will be sponsoring agency for the drawings, and the Ohio Lottery will conduct them, the governor said. The money will come from, well, they say, existing federal coronavirus relief funds. You know where that comes from? That comes from you. It comes from your wallet. Actually, it comes from generations to come from their wallets here to pay this back. He also announced that minors between the ages of 12 and 17 will also be incentivized to take the injections with five drawings for full four-year scholarships to state universities in Ohio. The New American is reporting Wyoming's Republican Governor Mark Gordon has affirmed the right to medical freedom by signing a directive banning vaccine passports, asserting vaccines are a personal choice based upon personal circumstances. Governors in Arizona, Idaho, Montana, South Dakota, and Arkansas have also issued executive orders prohibiting vaccine passports. LifeSiteNews.com, three healthcare workers are speaking out about debilitating health problems they experienced shortly after receiving the shot earlier this year. In an interview, the three women, all previously pro-vaccine, detailed their struggles with tremors, memory loss, and full body convulsions since their coronavirus shots. They said that the issues which they attribute to the vaccines have left them unable to work or to care for themselves. From WND.com, pretty awful. A healthy 17-year-old boy gets blood clots in brain after the vaccine. A mother in Utah warning parents about the possible dangers of COVID-19 shots after her 17-year-old basketball-playing son got a shot and developed three blood clots in and near his brain. The hardest thing was I let him get the shot, she said, and he was healthy and well before. But you question it. You can't get help but question it when it all goes wrong. By the way, WND points out that the Merriam-Webster definition of anti-vaxxer has been changed. It's expanded or edited its definition of anti-vaxxer to now include people who are opposed to forced vaccinations and presumably the coronavirus vaccine in particular. Have you seen what's happened to the Canadian pastor? We played the audio clip here a couple of weeks ago. Pastor Arthur Pawlowski, he's saying, get out of here, get out of here, get out, you know, get out. Well, he was arrested last Saturday for allegedly holding a church service that violated new public health orders pertaining to gatherings. He and his brother David were accused of organizing and attending an in-person gathering earlier that day, Calgary police said in a statement. They served the Pawlowski's a new court order prior to the church service, but the brothers were detained because they chose to ignore the requirements. Epoch Times reporting of a Michigan family claiming their loved one died of complications after receiving the Johnson shot. And the CDC supposedly is investigating this, said that they've reported this to the adverse reaction reporting systems for vaccines. Let's see. From Yahoo.com, yes, a California man arrested on $100,000 bond last Friday. What did he do? Charged with fraudulently obtaining more than $5 million in government-backed Paycheck Protection Program loans that he used to fund a luxury lifestyle. Prosecutors said Mustafa Gadiri of Irvine used the money to buy three cars that cost six figures each. I mean, he got a Ferrari, a Lamborghini, a Bentley Continental GT. Charged in an indictment with four counts of bank fraud, four counts of wire fraud, one count of aggravated identity theft, six counts of money laundering. He was arrested last Friday. The White House has created a climate change support office, reports townhall.com, signing an executive order to create this new federal government office designed to fight climate change. They are to perform the specific project of supporting bilateral and multilateral engagement to advance the U.S. initiative to address the global climate crisis led by the Department of State in coordination with the executive departments and agencies. By the way, a report came out that China's emissions have exceeded those of all other developed nations combined. All other nations combined, and yet they're not following this Paris Protocol. Here's another controversial issue from CBN News. Rick Warren's Saddleback Church was affiliated with the Southern Baptist Convention, announced that it ordained three women as pastors. The church shared the news in a Facebook post, proclaiming that it was a historic night, ordaining the first three women pastors. We're so grateful to share this moment with you. Our best days are ahead of us, they report. Saddleback has some 24,000 members, 18 campus pastors, all of whom are male. This is a first ordination of first ever female pastors. Disney, this is from faithwire.com. Disney revamping a kids cartoon with gay dads and a teen activist. This is The Proud Family, and the reboot will center on two multi-ethnic gay dads and their adopted teenage daughter who happens to be a racial activist. It's called The Proud Family, louder and prouder via social media. They put that out on Wednesday. And it's not just Disney, folks. It's your tax dollars through the U.S. Army as well. I mean, I have watched this. It is a new animated recruitment ad that the U.S. Army presents the story of Emma, a real soldier, Emma Mellenlord, who was raised by lesbians, enjoyed a fairly typical childhood, saw her two moms get married, and decided to join the Army to experience her own adventures, my own challenge. It is a recruitment ad with a pro-homosexual theme. It represents lesbian behavior, gay marriage, and gay parenting as being normal and patriotic. Christian Post reporting parents outraged after their first grade teacher read books promoting transgenderism to their students. School district in Washington State facing criticism after a teacher at one of its elementary schools read a book promoting transgender advocacy to the students. The Young American Foundation saw that a tip from a first grade teacher had read this book, I Am Jazz. Folks, let's open the phone lines here today on Crosstalk. We've got this final segment. We're going to ask that you have your comments brief and to the point. And we're opening our lines. Our number, 800-733-9829. That's 800-733-9829. Back in a minute. This is Crosstalk on VCY America.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website, worldviewreport.com. Two important things to talk about today. First is right here in my hometown, Memphis, Tennessee, a massive crack in the I-40 bridge. We have the I-40 bridge and the I-55 bridge. Coming in from out of town from a rally, we had to sit in traffic for 3 hours to get over the I-55 bridge because they closed down the I-40 bridge because of a major crack. My friends, these are two important highways as FedEx is headquartered in Memphis, and a lot of trucking comes through the Mid-South. Our enemies realize how critical this kind of infrastructure is all over the country. And then you add in the Colonial Pipeline that has been shut down. It has been hacked. Peter Vincent Pry, former CIA analyst on our show, declared he believes that is Russia and maybe Russia and China, as they have threatened such cyber attacks against our country. And even our own government has warned this can happen. I'm Brandon House.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. Just a quick note, the Texas legislature did pass a bill to ban abortions when the unborn baby's heart begins beating. That happened this week. And also this week, the Wisconsin Assembly voted to call for a constitutional convention. Let's go to the phone lines here today on Crosstalk, where our number is 1-800-733-9829. We begin in Pewaukee, Wisconsin. Brent, you're on the air.
Well, Jim, good afternoon. Thank you so much for taking my call. Jim, today is a very special day. You'll understand when I say that there was a gentleman whose name was Vic, who celebrates the same birthday as myself.
Yes.
And 1948, God bless all the Jews in Israel. God bless them. I have a reason for calling you. I'm going to give you the name. It's a Dr. Judy, and the last name is spelled M-I-K. Oh, V-I-T-S.
Mm-hmm. Mikovits.
Yes, this woman has suffered such terrible torment from the government, and she has so much truth about the plandemic. It's worthwhile digging into. If people are willing to listen to it, they will be shocked, and they will understand how this country has put people in a foolish, very dangerous position. That's about all I have to say. God bless you, and thank you for being there. And have a good weekend.
Thank you, Brent, for the call. Let's go to Robert in Birmingham, England. You're on the air. Robert, good afternoon.
Good evening, Jim, from Birmingham. I'll be very brief so that you can get more callers in. One is that your first item concerning Israel, it was on the news today on what unfortunately is a Christian radio station in Britain that said that the Palestinians were firing rockets at Israel in response to the bombardment. So I sent them an email. I doubt they'll respond to it,
yes.
Pointing out the truth on that. And the second point is I picked up a news item today concerning the health service in the Republic of Ireland, also reported as being suffering a ransomware attack, just like your pipeline in the USA.
Yes, my.
So it's very sadly affecting the people in the Republic of Ireland, their health service. And, I feel for them because my daughter drives a patient transport ambulance in Northern Ireland, which is part of the UK. And so I've got a bit more of an interest in what goes on over that side of that bit of water. Thank you, Jim. Bless you, folks, and be in touch sometime. Bye.
God bless you, Robert. Thank you for the call. From England, let's go to Phoenix, Arizona next. Samuel, you're on the air.
Yes, Jim, thank you for taking my call. I appreciate everything that the VCI network has brought to Phoenix, Arizona since it's been in here. The reason for my call is I've been standing here for over 50 years against this sheriff that is now in office. And I'd like to let your listeners know of a number that they can call, stir them up to get them to call a local media outlet and to tell them to stop trying to stop the audit and let them finish. The number here is 602.
And where is this number going to, Samuel?
It's to the KTAR. It's the local media outlet.
Okay.
It's 602-200-2733.
Thank you so much, Samuel. And I know the whole country is watching what's going on in Maricopa County right now.
Yes, and we just need to continue prayer, backing our pastors so that they can continue on the work that those that are standing as well. But we really need to contact them and tell them to let them finish the audit because, you know, the gospel of Jesus Christ is really, we need to do the will of our Father.
Amen.
And that is primarily so that we can continue on having the freedoms that we have to do. To allow to preach the gospel. Thank you very much, Jim.
Thank you, Samuel. Bye-bye. Bye-bye now. Let's go to Alice in Arkansas. You're on the air, Alice.
Thank you for taking my call. Know this, in the last days, perilous times shall come. We certainly are there. May everyone that names the name of Christ make the calling and election so sure, because Jesus said, he that endures unto the end, the same shall be saved. Oh, God, help us all. We really are in perilous times. But we also can be more than conquerors through him that loved us and gave himself for us. There is hope. Therefore, stay close to Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, Alice. We have Lynn next in the state of Pennsylvania. You're on the air, Lynn.
Hi.
Hi, you're on the air.
It's Crosstalk.
You're on the air, Lynn. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, I'm just wondering why on earth all the Christians sat by and watched all summer long happen. And why, with you, with your communication systems and all that you have, you're provided with, you know, all these things, why haven't you created groups and, I don't know, like they used to picket and they used to stand up and peacefully, we're talking about Martin Luther King, I guess, but peacefully stand up. And no, it's like nobody did anything over any of this, and they just sat back and let it happen. And so where are the Christians, the Republicans, the Trump supporters?
Mm-hmm. And tell us, Lynn.
Show up to nothing.
Well, tell us, Lynn,
one day.
Lynn, tell us the things that you have been doing.
Oh, well, I write letters. I contact my senators, and I contact who I can, and I pray. I pray.
Yeah, and there are thousands of others just like you, Lynn, that are doing those same things. And thank you so much for your call. But we do have a responsibility of being salt and light. We're going to squeeze one last call in. Athens, Wisconsin. Don, thanks for calling Crosstalk. You're on the air.
This is John.
John, okay, go ahead.
Yes, I want to comment on your comment about the Constitutional Convention that took place in or passed the assembly last Tuesday.
Yeah, I just reported that it happened. We've got 10 seconds. Go ahead.
It was actually for the Convention of States, not a constitutional convention. So a constitutional convention is something that the Soros groups promote, and that's wrong. If you support a constitutional convention, then that would be changing the whole constitution.
Okay. Thank you so much for that, Don. I know there are two different resolutions along that line. I may have gotten them mixed up just a bit, but some of them are point toward that same thing of amending the U.S. Constitution in that regard, but putting it out there. Some for specific items, some are looking to do it constitution-wide. Thanks for the call, and folks, thanks for joining us on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.